And we've come in our studies not only to his last words in his last epistle, but also to the close of his life. Last week we discussed Paul's triumphant testimony on the eve of his execution by the sword. And surely as we read these words, he is not even now occupied with himself, but still with the cause of Christ. He writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, and I'm reading from verse 5, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now about to be offered, and the time of my departure is here. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And now the crowning note of triumph in the next verse, verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now the scriptures contain many words and phrases which are of great importance to those who would rightly divide and so rightly understand the word of truth. Such words, for example, as before, after, until, but now, and so on. One such term is found in the verse I've just read to you. "Henceforth," he says, "there is laid up for me a crown." If you ever want a rich and satisfying time of Bible study, get a concordance and look up in the Bible every occurrence of the word "henceforth" in the New Testament. It will help you to understand the program of God. You recall the story in Luke 2, the record of our Lord's birth, and how the shepherds were watching in the field by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling bands or swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Was this a dream? Was it wishful thinking? No. God has a program clearly outlined in his word. This word, henceforth, is a key word to help us understand this program. Many people, as they hear these words sung and preached from the pulpit every Christmas time, peace on earth, goodwill to men, become almost cynical and they say, oh, that is wishful thinking. But first let us notice what this passage does not say. The angels did not say that peace on earth would immediately appear. They did not say that suddenly all would be well. No, indeed. They simply indicated that peace on earth was somehow associated with this babe which had been born at Bethlehem. Now, when the Lord Jesus grew up to be a man and began his ministry, he himself made it clear that there was not suddenly going to be peace on earth. Look what he says here in Luke 5 and the 8th to the 10th verses. Here he had given the apostles a command, and they had taken in an immense draft of fishes. And verse 8 of Luke 5 says that when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Now listen. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Did you get that word, catch? Now this makes it clear immediately that all men were suddenly not going to listen to the wonderful gospel of the kingdom of Christ, and that there was immediately going to be peace on earth. No, men had to be caught. This reveals the perverse condition of the human heart. Man has to be caught for Christ. He doesn't come of himself. Now, not very long later, as we find in the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, the Lord makes it even clearer that there is not going to be peace on earth immediately. In verse 49, he says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? In other words, what am I saying? I will bring it. It's already kindled. The fire, the human passion is already in the heart of man. In verse 50, he speaks of his crucifixion. I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened? Straitened. We would say today, what a spot I am in until this has been accomplished. Verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For, and here's this word again, from henceforth, there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So he has certainly made it clear here that there was not to be peace on earth immediately. And how true were his words, for three times at least in the epistles, in the Gospel according to John, we read the words, and there was a division among the people because of him. So, in Luke 5, henceforth thou shalt catch men. In Luke 12, henceforth there shall be division. Now, this division was not only in Christ's lifetime. This continued throughout his earthly ministry and long after. Toward the close of his earthly ministry, though, he addresses his own native capital city, the city of Jerusalem, where the great politicians, where the great rulers were. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest those who are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, until ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now the townspeople, just two chapters before, had cried, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But the capital of the nation refused him. The rulers rejected him. The spiritual leaders refused him. And now he says to them, Ye shall not see me until ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In a few days they were about to cry, Away with him, and he was going away. But do you remember what the 110th Psalm, verse 1 says? There you find the Father saying to the Son, in effect, They don't want you down there? Come and sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You remember how even after the resurrection of Christ, the favored nation was given another chance, but again rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Then everything was ready for judgment, but in infinite grace, God raised up another apostle, the Apostle Paul. And we find him in the 18th chapter of Acts, using this important word, henceforth again. Here he had been preaching to his own kinsmen, and they had set themselves in opposition. I read from Acts 18, verse 6. When they opposed themselves, that is, when they set themselves in opposition to him, and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. Now, this was a very important crisis in the history of the world and in the ministry of Paul. Paul had faithfully preached Christ, first to his own kinsmen according to the flesh, the chosen nation, and they would not accept. So now he, in this dramatic act, he shakes out his clothing, his robe, and says, Your blood be upon your own heads. It's your own fault. And so the favored nation was cast out, as the Gentile nations had been cast out of God's favor 2,000 years before. Now God has no nation on the face of the earth. It can truly be said of no nation that it is a Christian nation or that it is God's own people. God is now dealing with individuals. He has said of his nation, as the prophets predicted, Lo, am I, not my people. But we find a wonderful verse in Romans 11, verse 32, where we read that God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. And that next verse, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So the Gentiles were cast out, oh, many years, centuries before, at the Tower of Babel, about 2,000 years before, in fact. And now his own nation is cast out. They were scattered 2,000 years before. Now God's own nation is scattered over the face of the earth, and God is dealing with individuals. This is important to remember. The Apostle Paul in his epistles, especially in Romans 5, shows us all to be the fallen sons of fallen Adam. And as such, we each one individually need Christ and need to be saved. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, the apostle says, Wherefore, henceforth, there's that word again, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, some had known him so. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, there is a new creation. You see how the apostle takes us first back to the old creation and shows how it was ruined by the fall. And now he shows how in Christ there is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Oh, this is wonderful. In this wonderful message of grace, all things are of God. He doesn't ask you to do anything, not even lift your finger. He says, It's to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His believing is counted for righteousness. So I'm going on now in 2 Corinthians 5, And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, that is, when he was on earth and when he died at Calvary. That was God in the flesh. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And now he brings it to a practical conclusion and says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for God hath made him to be sin for us, him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, we turn to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and we find God's plan for Christ in the future. Christ has been rejected. His own received him not. The world didn't even know him, and his own received him not. And they cried away with him. And he's been a royal exile for these 1900 years. But in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and verses 12 and 13, I read these wonderful words. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. You remember I read to you from Psalm 110:1, how the Father said to the Son, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This world is not forever going to go on in rebellion against Christ. There will not always be war and bloodshed and trouble and sorrow and misery and pain and sickness and death and hate. Ah, no, indeed. He is coming. He will reign. He will dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. And he is in exile today. But we read in Hebrews that henceforth, he's expecting, anticipating the day when this rebellion on earth will be put down and he will reign. And what about us? What's his program for us? Here we come to our verse in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. We've taken a little while to get there, but I wanted you to see the wonderful use of this word henceforth in the New Testament scriptures. Here the apostle says, as for me, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me or award me at that day. Why does he call this a crown of righteousness? Why does he say the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me that crown? Did Paul actually deserve it? Oh, he admitted he did not. He called himself the chief of sinners. Through him, many believers had been put to death. He says, when they were put to death, I gave my vote against them. He was exceedingly mad against the disciples of the Lord during his youth, during his early period as a Pharisee. But then he was saved, and he served the Lord very faithfully. And he didn't think for a minute that he had earned all of this, but the Lord had promised it. And the Lord is righteous. So he says, this crown, the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Did you notice that the hope of the Lord's coming for his saints to take them to himself, and the hope of this wonderful day when rewards will be given to faithful believers is not only for men or for believers during their lifetime. Oh, no, Paul knew he was going to go through death. He said, I'm about to be offered, and the time of my departure is here. But he says, oh, I'm looking for that day. He was longing for the day when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to be forever with the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, I hope that at the close of our Christian careers, if you are a believer, we can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. Now, just to recapitulate, just once more to go over the occurrences of this word henceforth, we saw the angels singing or proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." But the Lord indicated very early in his ministry that this peace was not to come to earth immediately. Men would have to accept him as their Savior King. So he says to the disciples, and Peter in particular, "Henceforth thou shalt catch men." In the 12th chapter of Luke, he says, "Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? I tell you, nay, rather division, for from henceforth," and then he described how he, his very existence, his very person, would bring division into so many homes. It does it even today. Truth does not run in families. In many families, there is only one who trusts the Lord Jesus as Savior, and the family is divided. Later, the Lord Jesus said to his own native capital city, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he wept over it and said, "Henceforth, ye shall not see me until ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Then in Acts 18:6, we find this other apostle raised up and sent to the Gentiles. "Henceforth," he says, "I will go to the Gentiles." And so the Jew and the Gentile are both cast out, as we might say, into the arms of God's mercy. God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. And so the apostle goes on in 2 Corinthians 5 to say, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh." Remember when our Lord was on earth and a Gentile came for help, he said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He certainly recognized people after the flesh. You remember at Pentecost when Peter preached, if any Gentiles were there, they were ignored. He had nothing to say to them. He was sent only to the house of Israel. They first were to be brought to Messiah's feet, and then the apostles were to go on to the Gentiles. Well, this world has rejected Christ. He's blasphemed on every street corner. But this is not going to go on forever, for Hebrews 10 says that he's in heaven, henceforth anticipating that time when he shall be made King of kings and Lord of lords. And finally, in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, we saw the apostle's hope, and this hope may be yours and mine. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown." I remember years ago, not too many years ago now, when our beloved brother and colleague was a very ill man. Pastor J.C. O'Hare was very ill. And they were having the homecoming banquet that they held every year at North Shore Church, and he asked me whether I wouldn't join him in bringing them a message, for the doctor had told him that he could preach 12 minutes and no more. I said I would be happy to. But when I heard him speak, I was sorry that I had promised to add my word to his. For he said something like this: "This is our homecoming banquet, and I'm not going to be with you very long, so I think I'll speak on my home going." And they said, "Now, when I leave this world, I know that some of you who don't know me very well will say, he's gone to his reward. But I want you to know this, I'm not going to get my reward one bit before you do." And he quoted this verse in 2 Timothy and several others in 1 Corinthians 3 to show that together we will be caught up before the Lord.